Guys. Okay, everybody. Good morning. We're doing Masechet Sukkah, Daf Zayin this week, and Shiur sponsored by Yitz Weiss. We appreciate the sponsorship. Shake things up a bit this tax season. We'll find out the relevance of that much later this Masechta. And a breakfast sponsored by Bagel Munch in honor of Chaim's granddaughter. Okay, this is so we are starting three lines up from the bottom of Vavam and Beis. It's going to be a lot of stuff about the halachos of the defanos of the walls. So let's jump right in. We've already spent all the last stuff talking about the principle that there's a braisa halfway down. It says Tana Rabbanan, it says the sukkah requires to have two full walls that are connected at the corner, Shtayim Kil Chasan, and Shlishis, Afilu Tafach. And we saw that was based on Halacha of Moshe Misinai that reduced three walls down to two and a bit, two and a half, two and a little more. So now the Gemara here, three lines up from the bottom, asks, Ve'osa ha'tefach, heifan ma'amido. You have two full walls and you have one little bit of the third wall. Where do you put that little bit? So Amar Rav. Rav says, what do you mean? Ma'amido kenegad ha'yotze. You just stick it right there, right at the corner. And there's a little diagram in Rashi that shows you that. So it ends up looking like, I guess, I don't know, a hangman gallows or a number seven on the digital keyboard with the old things, or maybe a kind of a J upside down. Anyway, so that's all you need. So that's what Rav held. And if you look at it that way, it looks like we're envisioning, you know, when you say that the sukkah can do with two walls, like perpendicular, and one little bit of a third wall, so the question here is, are we putting that third wall, you know, oriented parallel to the wall opposite, as if we're envisioning a virtual four-walled sukkah where one and three quarters of the walls is missing? That's the way Rav is saying. Mamita keneged hayotze. That's how you do. You put it that way. And Amri le Rav Kahana v'Ravasi. Rav Kahana v'Ravasi say to Rav, well, how do you know that's the halacha Moshe Misinai allows you to get away with it like that? Maybe v'yamidenu keneged rosh tor. Maybe you have to envision the sukkah as a triangle. You have a halacha Moshe Misinai that says that you can have a shape, you know, a top-down shape could be a triangle. That's, you need at least three walls to make a shape, meaning a shape that can contain anything. And so maybe that's all it means, is that if you put it like that, you have an inconvenient rosh tor, so then maybe that's all the halacha Moshe Misinai says, but not that you could stick it straight out, and then in that way, imagine like your sukkah is enlarged as if it's four walls, just that a lot of it's missing. So Shastik Rav. So Rav didn't respond. Rav didn't respond. That's a very common response of Rav, Shasik. In any case, we go on to say, Itmranami, Amar Shmuel, Mishmeid Levi. So now Shmuel is weighing in on this in the name of Levi. We're going to see Levi's son had something else to say about this. Anyway, Ma'amido Keneged Hayotze, the same as what Rav said, that you put it perpendicular, you put it parallel to the opposite wall, and you have the right to kind of imagine out the sukkah as if it's a four-walled structure virtually. Okay, so that's the concept. So according to this so far, you have two full walls, and then opposite one of them, you stick a tefach, and then that, and then of course you need to have schach, covering the entire space that you plan on using, that you plan on sitting in, but that you can sit under any part of the schach that would correspond to the virtual walls that you have around you, either the real walls or the other virtual walls. That's the way he says it. Now, Rabbi Simon, v'item Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Omar, osa lo tefach sochek u'ma'amira b'pachas me'shlosha tfachim samach ledofan. He says, no, you can't get away with it like that. You can't just stick the tefach right up against the corner, like we said, like it would be over there. Instead, he says, no. Yeah, he's more machmir. He says, no, that's not the plan. The plan is, you have to take your tefach, make it slightly wider than a tefach, stick it in a position which is very precisely placed, that it's right up to, but not as far as three tefachim away from that corner. We're imagining very, very sharply defined walls and planks, and that you're able to make your measurements precisely. And we're imagining that you don't have a gap of gimel tefachim between the end of the wall, like that's being drawn over here, the end of the full wall. Then there's a little gap, and then you're going to stick that one slightly wider than a tefach plank in such a position that by the time the three tefachim gap is virtually sealed by virtue of the Lavud principle. Lavud means that whenever I have a gap that's not wider than or longer than or larger than three tefachim, and I have solid things on each side, so then I have the right for certain purposes to view it as if it's fully sealed and closed and solid. And so having done that, I now have produced, at least using the Lavud principle, a wall that by that point has now stretched out at least four tefachim from the corner. That's what I've accomplished. Why is at least four tefachim, worth something? Because what's the actual requirement? The minimum size of a sukkah is zayin by zayin. That's what we're going to see, like we've seen before, as a machlokas b'shem beis hillel. Now we hold zayin al zayin tefachim, and therefore four tefachim is a rov. Once you have the rov of a dofen, once you have the rov of that wall, we can say good enough. And that's the kula that the Halacha LeShemisiyani was saying. It was saying that even though I only have rove of my wall, which I can produce if I really, really have the minimum material, I can get away with just one tefach. But I can't just stick the tefach on the corner. That's not going to be sufficient. I have to be strategic about where I place it. So I have to place it in a way where I can take advantage of lavud plus this one tefach, slightly larger than tefach, to produce a halachic four tefach wide wall, which is rove of the seven that's necessary, and that's the kula. And that's what I would be required to do. Tosas makes a comment that they feel that the one tevach would be sufficient, the Raisa, and that these are chumers to Rabbanan. So the requirement, so essentially by the time you've finished with this, Rabbi Shimon ben Levi's analysis, what you're doing is you have a full wall, and then perpendicularly have another full wall meeting at the corner, and then on the third side, I have a gap of under three tefachim plus at least a tefach. But if I put a four tefach, wall there, that's great. Then I don't need lavud, and it would be a solid four tefach space. But that was the goal, and the point is that that's sufficient to allow what? So it's not going to be just to allow the four tefachim. That's not the point. The point is that it allow me even to utilize more space. Now it's not even only up until seven. That's what the Rishonim point out. That later on we're going to see is a principle called Pesel HaYotzei. We've already seen it before on Daf Dalet. That the fact that I have a kosher sukkah of Zion al Zion, but one wall keeps going and the schach keeps going with it, that allows the rest of that space also to be used. Anyway, so they point out that once I've configured the sukkah the way it's described over here, I can sit anywhere under the schach up until the opposite wall goes. So that could be much longer. Okay, so now that's what we're seeing here. So this rule of Shtayim Kelchasin or Shlishis Hafilu Tefach is a little bit of a misnomer in the sense that you can't just stick it right in the corner. That's the way Rabbi Shimon ben Levi holds. We're going to see later on that that's going to be the way we're going to hold. But let's see. That's when you have the two walls, Shtayim Kelchasin. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, sukkah hasuya kemavui. What if I make my sukkah with two walls parallel to each other? So that's not shtayim kilchasa. That's just two opposite each other, two walls opposite each other. So it says here, ksheira, that's kasher also, and I will need to do something about the openings, about the open spaces on the two sides. The yosef tefach, so the first opinion, Rabbi Yehuda says, and as long as I have a tefach there in the middle, somewhere on, at one gap, one opening, on one end or the other end, that's sufficient. Rabbi Simon, Rabbi Shimon Levi, Amar, Rabbi Simon, or others say it's Rabbi Shimon Levi, who says, no, that's not good enough. Also lo pas arba umashahu. You'll need to get a 4 tefach wide plank or panel. Remember, four tefachim is only around a foot wide. So you need a 4 tefach wide plank. And ma'amida b'pachas me'shlosha samach ledofen, v'chala pachas me'shlosha samach ledofen kelav adami. And you need to take a 4 tefach wide plank, put it, love it to one corner or the other, in such a way as so now you've actually closed up a more significant part of the opening on one side or the other. And meaning that I have 4 tefachim plus the 3 tefach of lavad makes it 7. Meaning that I've actually put a seven tefach virtual wall up. So now I have essentially at this point what I really have is now I've just built, you know, a one full wall already existed. Now I built myself a kind of a virtual 7 tefach long, you know, wall on the end, and then far away from it. Farther away from it, I have the third wall that's parallel to the first wall, and that's kosher. That's the way he says, that's the way Rabbi Shimon ben Levi says you're required to do when you don't start out with two full perpendicular walls that meet at a corner. If you're going to start out with two parallel walls that don't meet at all, which is schachan over it, then you need to have something more substantial, a full 7 tefach wide wall in the middle. And if you want to, you can take advantage of lavud to make your 7 tefach wall. So it would require only 4 tefachim of solid material plus 3 tefachim of lavud that has to go up against one corner. And the Rishonim don't necessarily require that it go up against the corner. So that's why it says over here that would be required because the gap is between the two full-size walls. So that's what the Gemara asks over here. It says, "Umayishna hasam deko amr tzag betefach sochek." Why are you requiring a 4 tefach wide wall plus lavud when it's the one in the middle, as opposed to what we said earlier, that if you have two solid walls together and meeting at the corner, then you could get away with 1 tefach plus lavud, which makes only 4 tefachim. So,
wait, David, so lavud can also be, it can end in open space. In other words, it's not just filling in the gaps with open space about the 3 tefachim, but it could actually be that open space could be an extension to a solid?
No, because what you're saying is that what I said before wasn't clear enough. That if I'm going to take advantage of lavud, then I can't put my 4 tefach wide pass anywhere along the wall I want to. It does have to be within
okay.
3 of the corner. If I had a solid 7 tefach
sure.
plank, that I could have stuck anywhere I wanted to.
Okay.
Right, so good point. So the answer that he gives, maybe this is Rav Shimon Levi or the Gemara speaking on behalf of him. It says, well, the reason the difference is, Hasam the Ika Shtei Defanos Kiel Chasan. In the first case, I had two actual full size walls that actually met at the corner. So that means I've started out at least kind of on the right foot. And Sagile B'Tefach Sochik. So in order to bring out the third wall, I only need what ultimately amounts to a final result of only Rove of the 7 tefachim. That's the 1 tefach plus Lavud equals the 4 tefachim. But Hacha Deleka Shtei Defanos. But over here in our case, the two walls weren't touching. They were parallel. So now, in order to connect them, yika pas arba in ilo lo. I require a full 7 tefach wide, which could be built by 4 plus the lavud. So that would be necessary to close it up. This comes up all the time. All of these weird sukkah configurations they come up all the time. People are always, you know, they have funny arrangements with their sukkah. They rely on this. This wall doesn't exactly exist. Or this is the space that we have available to us. And so these kinds of things happen all the time. You have, like, I can use the fence over here and the house over here. Now I have to just, you know, figure out how I'm going to close up one end in a way that, you know, I don't need it to be fully closed. So you stick a thing somewhere and you could take advantage of this. It has to be at least 7 tefachim wide, put somewhere over there, and then you're good to go. And then that's it. That's all it would require. But again, this is all about having the schach everywhere all of this time. Okay, so it says here, Amar Rava, Okay, some more. And this is going to actually like kill some of the coolest that we said. Amar Rava. Rava says the following. Ve'enani teres ela b'tzuras ha-pesach. You know, it's nice that we had these coolest about how to build the walls, but he says, but you need to also add a tzuras ha-pesach. In other words, v'ni teres nami b'tzuras ha-pesach. Now, a tzuras ha-pesach is something that we're familiar with from Shabbos, that it's the way all of the Erev, all the community Erevs are built by mechitzos that are all Tzuras HaPesach design. What's a Tzuras HaPesach? It's the description of Tzuras HaPesach is, I have Kana Mikan, Vekana Mikan, I have two side posts, Vekana Al Gaben, I have a top post that runs along. That is what you need at Tzuras HaPesach, and that is what every community Erev has 100 of them, all around town. You have a telephone pole here, a telephone pole here, and a wire running along the top over the pole. That's a Tzuras HaPesach. You identify that as being a Tzuras HaPesach. The word Tzuras HaPesach means it has the shape, the schematic of the entranceway. And just like every mechitza is likely to have a doorway running through it, and we don't consider the doorway to count as if it's a pirtza, as if there's nothing there. It counts as solid enclosure space for halachic purposes. So the halacha does not require that you have a maximum number of those or a maximum number of consecutive ones of those when it comes to Shabbos. And that's the logic that therefore allows us to enclose communities with just a whole series of these Tzuras HaPesach running all around the town. So we are actually enclosed in Passaic by doorways everywhere, even if you're unaware of them, because they're just so commodious that we can walk through without even being inconvenienced by them, but it doesn't matter. The point is that they're there, and we can point them out. And so that is the principle that Rava says you have to do also here in the sukkah if you're going to take advantage of these leniencies. And let's say for now, focus on the leniency of the first one, of the tefach plus lavud. The tefach plus lavud means like this. So I have two full size walls, and then my third wall is built of a four tefach virtual wall, either one plus three or just four tefachim, and that's only a rove of a wall. So Rava says, you know, you need a Tzuras HaPesach. Now the Gemara is going to wonder, what did he mean by that? That you mean you need it as well, or you can use it as an alternative. So Rava says, "Vini teres nami b'tzuras ha-pesach." It also is mutter with the tzuras ha-pesach. Ika diamri. Some understood that Rava's comment was a chumra, and some understood his comment was a kula. Oh, how did I have it? V'yamar Rav v'ener teres el b'tzuras ha-pesach, and ika diamri yamar Rav v'ener teres nami b'tzuras ha-pesach. Two versions of what Rava said. Did Rava say you need to have the Tzuras HaPesach also, or as an alternative? So it goes like this. Either Rava required that the four tefachim, you need to build it out more. If you're going to build it out more and you don't have the materials really, you can make do with a Tzuras HaPesach. What does it require to get a Tzuras HaPesach? You need a little pole or a stick or something that you would kind of attach to your plank that's being held up, your tefach plank. You get another one farther out somewhere toward the end or in the middle, wherever you can get another kana, and then you run either a line or a string or something up near the schach, and then you get your Tzuras HaPesach that has the halachic status of a wall, and then you've just built out your wall, which means that as much as this halacha l'mishmei Sinai has trimmed down the sukkah to only require two full walls plus a tefach, it's not really so. And at least as the way Tosafot say the Rabbanan, you have to make it more. You have to really use virtual principles to make the halacha, to make the third wall at least seven tefachim long. If you're going to use the Tzuras HaPesach, it has its own requirement. The Tzuras HaPesach really be at least four tefachim wide, I think, in which case you're going to end up with at least a minimum of eight tefachim by the time you're done with that. Now, interestingly, the Rishonim point out that Tzuras HaPesach that work for Shabbos, are not kosher for sukkah. You can't just decide to make my sukkah out of Tzuras HaPesach the way I make my Erev out of Tzuras HaPesach. We've seen that before also, is that certain rules of sukkah that don't correspond. Like you can't use good asik for your sukkah, which you can use for Shabbos, because you need what the Gemara says, mechitzas nikaros. So apparently that's not going to be good enough. That's what the Rishonim see from this ruling over here, that the Tzuras HaPesach, you can't make your sukkah just the Tzuras HaPesach. You can't make a full dofen of Tzuras HaPesachs if Rava's rule was a chumrah. Let's take a look. Rava said, "Ve'inan teres elat teres haPesach." Chikad yamri amar Rava v'teres hanami teres haPesach. Chikad yamri amar Rava v'tirchan nami teres haPesach. Okay, Rav Ashi, Ashkechel Rav Kahana. So it tells us a story about which of these things to follow. Rav Ashi met Rav Kahana. Dekoavet tefach sochek. Dekoavet teres haPesach. He was using the tefach method of building his third wall, and then he built the teres haPesach out in addition. So Amar Lei. So Rav Ashi asked Rav Kahana, once you're using the Tzuras HaPesach already, why don't you just make that Tzuras HaPesach go the whole way as an alternative, and I don't need the Tefach? Lo Savar Mar, Loha De Rava, don't you hold like what Rava says, that the Amar Rava, when he turns on the Tzuras HaPesach, that it could also use the Tzuras HaPesach? Amar Lei, he said to him, no, because I hold the other version of Rava. Ana Ki Irach Lishna De Rava Svirli, the Amar Rava, Tzricha Nami Tzuras HaPesach, that I hold that Rava was saying that it needs to have the Tzuras HaPesach in addition to the four tefach virtual wall that runs along that third side. That's the way the Shulchan Aruch writes it, that if you're going to take advantage of the minimum size of a wall, you're going to need to supplement with the Tzuras HaPesach to bump it out to at least seven tefachim full on the opposite side. That's the way it says it. Okay.
Once you have a Tzuras HaPesach, why do you even need the Lubud and all of that?
Right, apparently I need the tefach of salad. I need some salad there, plus the Tzuras HaPesach. The Tzuras HaPesach by itself is no good. Right, that's if you hold that Rava was machmir. If once you hold that Rava was machmir, that in addition to the tefach, I need Tzuras HaPesach, then what it means is I need both. I need the tefach solid. I need some solid wall going on there. And I also need to have the Tzuras HaPesach. But if I just the Tzuras HaPesach alone, or if I hold like the other shita that said Vini Tzuras Nami Tzuras HaPesach as an alternative to the Tefach, then I would have been okay with two solid walls, and for the third, only Tzuras HaPesach. That would have been good enough. But we're not holding like that. So we're not going to be able to get away with it.
So you need that and the solid.
Yeah.
You also need the three of Levut.
Well, that's if you're going to trim it down to a single Tefach, if you only have a Tefach of material. But if I had a full four Tefach material, that I wouldn't need it. Unless what you're saying is, can I follow like what the diagram of the first opinion and stick the tefach at the corner and then build the rest of it out with the Tzuras HaPesach? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if you can do that. No. See, it depends. Maybe. You know, there's a whole girsa question over here in our Gemara with the Vilna Gaon. The Gemara has a girsa on the word sochek. Tefach sochek, the Gemara doesn't like the word sochek. So what doesn't he like about it? So it could be that it's that issue, that if you're going to use a tefach at the corner, it doesn't have to be wider than a tefach in order to depend upon a lovet principle. It could just be a tefach of space, of solid space, and then once you build that, the Tzuras HaPesach, so then you're good. But if you're going to stick a tefach sochek, that's just another way of saying lovet plus the tefach, and then also the Tzuras HaPesach, which means that he really needed the Tzuras HaPesach to be building upon a four tefach wide starting condition. It just means wider than literally it means smiling that it's a ref. It just means that a tefach is your fist, including your thumb to the nail. This thing is a tefach. If it's sochek, that means if your fingers are a little bit more relaxed, a little bit wider. I mean, if you had precision instruments, I don't know, somehow or other they were able to talk this way. So if it's more than a tefach slightly, which would enable you to place it slightly within the three tefach lavud margin, and that you'd be able to then have, by the time you stick your tape measure from the corner to the end, to the outer edge of the tefach, you get at least four tefachim by the time you're finished with your lavud plus your tefach sochek. Now, the tefach sochek is only relevant because I need to get four tefachim wide, which includes a lavud. But if I can put it in the corner plus Tzuras HaPesach, I wouldn't need that. So that's what's going on here with this with the Graz comment. So I'm not sure. All right, two dots. Shtem Kil Chasan. Okay, so this is referring back, you know, to that brisa. Two full walls at the corner that meet at the corner, plus a third. So now Rava makes this comment, and they have a Girsa question about if it's Rava or Rabba. I don't think it's going to matter for us. Rava or Rabba say the following. V'chein l'shabbos. This is an amazing comment. What Rava or Rabba is saying over here is v'chein l'shabbos, which means he's saying this. He's saying you have to realize that Shabbos also has a principle of Rishus HaYachid, where you have an enclosed space, and it has the halachos, such as if you have an enclosed space, you're allowed to carry you all around the enclosed space, and so that if you carried from outside to inside, that'll be a chiyuv, or inside to outside, it'll be a chiyuv. So in other words, there's a definition of a space that's enclosed. To enclose it, it needs mechitzos, and that has, you know, a lot of similarities to sukkah. Sukkah also has to be an enclosed space, but the rules are a little different. So when it comes to Shabbos, the rule is I need three minatora, three walls minatora, and then a tikkun on the ruach revius, and I need something derabanan on the fourth wall to close it up. So like by the time I'm done, I have something right on all four walls, and sukkah doesn't have that much. I need two plus a little bit on the third wall, and then exactly what that little bit looks like, you know, is what we've been talking about. And so now listen to this case. What happens on the Shabbos of Sukkot? And the Shabbos of Sukkot, so that's kind of interesting. So with respect to carrying on Shabbos, I should be using the Shabbos rules. With respect to the sukkah, eating in the sukkah, or being in the sukkah, I have sukkah rules. So is it possible, like, that I'll build my sukkah in such a way that it's kosher for a sukkah, but I'm not allowed to walk around in there? I can't carry anything in the sukkah because it doesn't count as an enclosed space for Shabbos purposes. Is that true? Or let's say I have mechitzas for Shabbos purposes, like, but that's not, and I put tzchach over there, it's not going to count because it's not going to be kosher sukkah. Is that true? All of that. So this is what Rava says. Rava says, as long as I built my sukkah in this way, that it's kosher for sukkahs, v'chein l'shabbos, I can use that on Shabbos too. I can treat it as a rishus hayachid for Shabbos purposes, meaning that I can carry over on the Shabbos of Sukkot, I can carry over my kulis that I had for sukkah to build the kosher sukkah, and I can call it a rishus hayachid for Shabbos also. V'chein Shabbos migu, migo, literally it means mitoch, the word go, like migo galusa, it means mitoch from the fact that the havidof and linen sukkah, havidof and linen Shabbos. From the fact that this counts as a dofen, which means as a full space enclosed for sukkah purposes, have you dofen in Shabbos. That'll be for the Shabbos of Sukkot, that will count as a legitimate Rishus HaYachid. That's pretty amazing. Esavei Abai challenges him, Mi Amrinan Migo? Do you say such a principle? The Hatanya, but there's a Braisa that seems to not hold that way. So let's take a look at this Braisa. Dofen sukkah, kedofen Shabbos. In general, a dofen for sukkah is going to have the same requirements like a dofen for Shabbos, meaning like it has to be 10 tefachim, it has to be, you know, you can use Lovett principles. B'lvad shaloi hei bin kana l'chaver shalosha tefachim. So for example, you could theoretically make your dofen out of slats that are just vertical slats that are within gimel tefachim of each other. You could do that for Shabbos and use the Lovett principle entirely. And we're saying that you could also use that also for a wall of sukkah. The Yisera Shabbos al sukkah, Shabbos anani teres ela be'omed meruba ala paritz. Now there's an additional requirement, however, on Shabbos, over the sukkah requirements, that Shabbos, you need to have by the time you're done, you need to make sure you have more standing omed than paritz, than pirtza, than break, than gap. You need to have more solid than gap. That's a regular Shabbos principle for Erevin purposes. You always have to be mindful of that whenever you're using, whenever there are gaps in your Erev. And all around town, there are always places where you can't exactly configure it's Rosh Pesach, and so you're going to leave the gap there, and some gaps are okay, and some gaps are not okay. But whatever it is, if you happen to have a gap in such a configuration where you don't have, at least for that run of length, you don't have enough, you don't have more solid, you need, you know, omed meruba la paratz, you need to have more solid than you have gap, so then it's not going to count for that space. So that's only true for Shabbos, but Sukkah, there's no such rule. So for Sukkah, I can have gaps. As long as I have, you know, enough solid, I don't have to worry about the fact that there's an enormous gap for the rest of the way. So that's a chumrah of Shabbos. So now, what do you see? What do you see? You see that you don't just say, well, if it's good enough for Sukkah, it's good enough for Shabbos. That's what the Braisa seems to be saying. My love, so in order to make the argument sharp, let's point this one thing out. My love, isn't it true that the Braisa meant you say Shabbos de Sukkah, Asukkah? Doesn't that mean that for the Shabbos that falls out on Sukkot, that Shabbos requirement would still be necessary? So, the Gemara, velo amrin amigo. And the point is that you don't say the amigo rule. So the Gemara says, no, that wasn't, in response, the response is, no, that wasn't how you read the Braisa. The Braisa doesn't say that. Look, you say Shabbos the Alma al-Sukkah, the Shabbos the Sukkah. It just meant to say that regular Shabboses that don't fall out during Sukkot have this extra chumrah of Omed Meruba al-Aparotz that doesn't apply on the Shabbos of Sukkah because of the Sukkah Bigo rule. So then Gemara says, well, hold on a minute. If that's true, then you should have, if there really is such an equation between the Sukkah rules and the Shabbos rules for the Shabbos of Sukkot, so then it would also follow in the reverse direction. Then you should also have made a comment about the reverse direction, namely what? That your Sukkah rules will be different for the rest of Sukkot versus the Shabbos of Sukkot. In what way? The Ilu Sukkah de Alma, boy tefach sochek. The Ilu Sukkah de Shabbos, lo boy tefach sochek. In what way would it be different? Well, we just said a second ago that the Sukkah, in order to be kosher, it has to have two walls plus a wide tefach, lavud, to make four tefachim, to make like all of these other things for that third wall. But wait a minute. But on Shabbos, the rule wouldn't have required so much. Lo boy tefach sochek v'sagi b'lechi. D'ha'atu, and the Gemara is saying, this is what? This is Abaye, is actually speaking to Rava or Rabba, saying, but because you hold the following rule, because you hold that the rule is that if sikeich al gabi mavui sheyesh lo lechi kosher, that you hold that if you have a mavui, and Rashi and Tosafot are going to have a little bit of machlokas about which this mavui is, but let's for now go with the fact that this mavui is a three full-walled mavui, and you put this chach over the mavui, what does it require to make the sukkah kosher? So right away, Tosis's pshat, of course, is a problem because nothing. It would require nothing. You have three full walls. So Tosis say, no. The schach didn't go all the way to the middle wall. There was a large gap between the schach and that middle wall. Now, if that's a configuration you have, let's say, a ches configuration, but the schach doesn't go up until the top bar of the ches. So really, the schach itself is just lying over two parallel defanos, but it's open on both sides because the schach doesn't connect to the wall. What?
It's not creating the ceiling, is what you're saying.
It's not. Well, I'm imagining a top-down ches, so I have schach lying over the two sides, but not going all the way as far as the connecting wall that's between the two. If that's the arrangement that I have, like if you look up at your sukkah and you have gaps in your schach, sometimes that ruins your schach and sometimes it doesn't. If it's too close to the walls and if you have gimel tfachim is enough to ruin the sukkah along the side because what it's doing is technically it is detaching that wall from the sukkah. So if your sukkah didn't need it, then you're okay. But if you needed that wall, so in this configuration, if I have schach not going all the way to the wall, so I can't use that wall as part of my sukkah. So I only have two opposite ones. Now for Shabbos purposes, the question is it an enclosure? It has three. All I need is just one little sidebar, what's called the lechi. The lechi is enough to make it fully enclosed for Shabbos purposes. So now can I take advantage of that wall, the wall that now really only has on it one little lechi as being the connecting wall. For Shabbos purposes, that's good. That makes it a fully enclosed space. That's an enclosed piece. Can I use that for sukkah? So this is the point. That is what it tells us understood this line, which is, so now, if you could call that a kind of a solid wall for Shabbos purposes, we can use it for sukkah. So you lay your schach on it. It's kosher, but all it needed was one lechi. So if that's true, if that b'risa really holds all this way, so then you should have said in the b'risa, and then the same for the reverse, meaning that some sukkahs, when it's not on Shabbos, require more than what a sukkah of Shabbos would require. You see, that's what Abai was attacking Rabbah with. You see that b'risa seems to not hold of the migu connection. So he answered him, no, the b'risa didn't have to say it. The b'risa would agree, but it doesn't say it. As ahu lo etzrichale. Hashta mekilta or mekilasa lechamirta amirin mechamirta lekirta lo koshkein. The whole point of the b'risa was even Shabbos, where the stakes are higher and it's where it's more chamer, you can bend the rules down to conform with the sukkah policies. So obviously you'll be able to bend the sukkah rules to conform with the Shabbos policies, and it goes without saying once you've established the parity between the Shabbos and Sukkah laws. And so by the time you get to the bottom of the page, that's how you end up with the parity between the Sukkah laws and the Shabbos laws, so that if during the Shabbos of Sukkos, the Sukkah laws are different and the Shabbos laws are different. Mm-hmm. So that if it's a kosher Sukkah using Sukkah rules, then you can carry in that space and call it Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And if it's a kosher Rosh Hashanah Yachid using Shabbos rules, so then it'll be a kosher sukkah as well for the day, but not when Shabbos ends. Gufa. Amar Rava, or Rava, Sike Chal Gabi Mavoy Sheish Lelechi, we're on Amad Beis now. Kshera. So this is where the Tosis has his comment. The Amar Rava, Sike Chal Gabi Pasi Biros Kshera. So now Rava also says, you know what? Once we're talking about certain funny Shabbos laws about mechitzos, and using them for sukkah also, then if you put schach al gabi ha pase biraos, it'll also be kosher on during that Shabbos. What are pasen? We saw that already on the Daftala. Those are called the diumadin. The diumadin are the corners. They give you a diagram there in Rashi, but it just means that you have, you know, little corner pieces. This is again a top down floor plan of your space, and so normally you can't use a sukkah with dumadin, it's just not nikaros. But because you're having the like a little one amma corner over there and a one amma corner over there, and then you could have theoretically a large sukkah using that space. And so that's too much missing. But on Shabbos it'll work, because on Shabbos that would count as Rosh Hashanah Yachid, it's a special kula. So now we're being told utzricha, and the truth is that Rava needed to say all three of these laws. What are the three kulas that he said? The one before about how on Shabbos you can use the sukkah laws, the fact that you can use the sukkah laws on Shabbos, and this the difference also between the mavui version and the dumadin version. So it says utzricha, you need all three. The iashmin and mavui. If Rav had only told us that you could put tzchach on the mavoi and use the mavoi laws, then mishum de'ikash de'defanas malyasa. Well, that was talking about when I had two good solid walls up, and so now it was only a matter of that third one, so I could use a lechi, and that's good enough. Aval gabi pasi biros, the lechish de'defanas malyasa. But pasi biros, I just have corners. I don't even have any defanos. So emalo, I might have said that is too much missing to use the migu law. But he wants to say that you can. But if you just told me the Dumadin law, because at least you have four virtual complete, you know, and fully enclosed. They only have the two plus the lechi on that middle one. Maybe that doesn't count. Maybe that's too much missing. And if Rabba had only told us just those two kulas about how I can use special Shabbos kulas for I could use these Shabbos kulas to make my sukkah kosher. So then that's because, you know, Shabbos is more chamer. So if these kulas exist on Shabbos, then I can apply them for sukkah. But aval mekilas olachamirta emalo. But if, let's say, I'm using a sukkah kula, how do I know I can do that even to carry for Shabbos purposes? Emalo. So tzricha. That's why he had to tell us all of these three kulas. Okay, then the braisa. Well, really, actually, it goes back to the Mishnah on the Daf Beis. It says that your sukkah is pasul if chamasa meruba metzilasa. If you have too much sun, if there's more sun than shade, psula, then that's pasul. So how do you measure that? So Tanur Banan, chamasa machmas sikuch velo machmas defanos. What it means is that you just assess the schach, the ceiling. You have to assess your ceiling. You have to assess your schach. If most of the ceiling is covered by kosher schach, then it literally means you have to somehow do a full survey of your ceiling and how many cubic inches, square inches, square centimeters have schach there, and how many have gap there. Add them up, and if you have a rove of it is solid, is schach, is kosher, then you're kosher. And if it's rove is gap, then it's pasul. So the lo machmas defanus, but I don't care how much sun is getting in on the defanus. In other words, I don't care how much of the sides are missing. Meaning that I could build my defanos with a lot of holes and lattice work and strings and whatever, all these things, even though it's going to be a ton of sun is getting in to the sukkah, it's like barely shade at all. So that's the way it says, v'lo machmas defanos. Rabbi Yoshia holds wrong. Af machmas de defanos. So he holds, we're not going to even, pay a lot of attention to Rabbi Yoshia's shita. He's totally ignored, really, everywhere else in this mesechta. But he holds that the defanos also have to be rove solid and have tzilas, have the tzeil more than the chama. The Amar Rabbi Eimer Bashalemi Mishmei the Abai. My time with Rabbi Yoshia. Why would he say so? The chsiv, the sakosa aloran es aparoches. Because of this mysterious pasuk that says, you cover the aron with the paroches. Wait a minute. It's the kapores that goes on the aron, not the paroches. So this pasuk is so mysterious. It says you put the paroches on the aron. No, you don't. You're hanging up the paroches in front of the aron. That's what's going on. The paroches is the curtain that hangs in front of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the pasuk uses the word sakosa. In other words, shield. In other words, not cover in that sense, but conceal the aron behind the paroches. So that you see that the paroches is mechitzva kekari l'rachmanes sechacha. Really, the paroches is a vertical thing. It's a wall. And the Chumash calls it the schach. So using that principle, you see that the halachos that pertain to the schach ought to also carry over, at least in some ways, possibly in all ways, to the walls. Alma mechitzva kischach bo'inen. V'rabbanan? So what do they hold? What do they say about this? Ahu d'necha papurta d'mechze kischach. Now, Rabbanan hold, that doesn't mean that. It just means, because it used the word sakosa, and the sukkah always, the schaf always means the top, so like a canopy, so it has to have a little bit of the top of the parochas, has to be like a canopy. It has to, be pulled out a little bit and have a little canopy on the top of the parochas. All right. But it doesn't mean that the rest of it has schach status. Amr Abaye. Now Abaye has the following. He says, it occurs to me, this is Abaye says, it occurs to me, my surveying through all of the Tanoim and opinions that everybody has all throughout this Masechta, that you can notice a common theme among certain Shitos, among the Tanoim. So this is what Abaye does. He collects like 8 Tanoim here. Rebbe, and Rebbe Yoshia, and Rebbe Yehuda, and Rebbe Shimon, and Rebbe Gamliel, and Beis Shammai, and Rebbe Elazar, and Acherim, Kulhu, Sevira Lahu, they all hold Sukkah Diras Keva Ba'inan. They all hold that the Sukkah has to be, or should be, or needs to be, or can be Diras Keva. Diras Keva. Diras Keva, meaning like a strong or permanent or an enduring structure. Now, right away, you have the impression as if they all like hold this way, but we're going to see all these cases. They all are holding something. They're all clearly arguing with each other. They're not agreeing with each other about their own individual halachos. It's just a matter of each case, there's a machlokas about a thing where the other side would have the sukkah be a little more flimsy than they are. So that's all. So let's just see what it goes. It says, well, let's see. Rebbe, where do you see that in Rebbe? We have to go through, you know, he lists off all of these, however many they are, eight or nine or so opinions in Tanoim. So now you have to go down. What is each one referring to? What was Abai referring to when he collected this list? Rebbe, Desanya, Rebbe Omer, call Sukkah Sheinba Arba Amis Al Arba Amis Psula. Okay, that's it. Rebbe holds that the minimum dimensions of a sukkah is dalet amos al dalet amos. Now we hold against him. We hold that it's only zayin tefachim. So you see that Rebbe was holding a stronger structure, a larger structure, which gave it a little bit more of a sense of keva. Rebbe Yoshia. All right, well, which Rebbe Yoshia are we talking about? Hadi Amar, the one that we just said, meaning that your walls have to have more substance to them. They have to have more solid material to them so as to be at least shielding at least halfway to this sukkah. So you compare it to the opposite opinion, which said, no, there's no such restriction. So in a sort of relative way, he held like Diras Keva, you know, as opposed to the opposite view. Rebbe Yehuda, which Rebbe Yehuda are we talking about? This not, and this is the one from that base. Sukkah shikvol l'mala me'yachav ama psula Rebbe Yehuda machshir. If your sukkah is more than 20 amas tall, Rebbe Yehuda says that's kosher, and the other 10 times say no. So this one we say is like that also. In other words, the fact that Rabbi Yehuda allows such a giant structure, such a tall structure, you see that he's kind of leaning more in the direction of the sukkah can be stronger and sturdier than the other opinion holds. Rabbi Shimon, now which Rabbi Shimon are we talking about? This Sanya. Shtayim kilchasen u'shlish zafilat tefach. Rabbi Shimon, this is on the previous amud, previous daf, I mean. Rabbi Shimon Amer, gimel kilchasen v'dalet zafilat tefach. Okay, that's not machlokas. So you see that Rabbi Shimon holds that you need 3 plus a little for the sukkah, as opposed to the other opinion, which was 2 plus a little. So you see, he holds, again, a somewhat, slightly, maybe more substantial structure. Rabban Gamliel's shita is what? This Anya. Ha'osa sukkah so berosh agala o berosh asfina. This is all Gerson question over here. Rabban Gamliel posel, Rabbi Kiva machshir. If you make your sukkah on the boat or on a wagon, Rabbi Gamliel posel. Rabbi Kiva machshir. So why is Rabbi Gamliel posseling? Why does he possel? So presumably because it's too flimsy and it needs to be, you know, more sturdy. And on the boat, you know, it's likely to tip over. It's not likely to stand that well. And it's too, it might collapse. In other words, it's too fragile. It's not strong. It's not sturdy enough. Rabbi Kiva says, fine, that's kosher.
Could the opposition have been that it's forbidden to put a sukkah on something that's portable and mobile?
That's really this machlokas.
So you're saying because of the flimsiness, I'm saying that even if it's sturdy, but it, just because it's on an object.
Oh, that's going to be, that's what the Rishonim ask. When we get into that sugya about the
Sfina.
Yeah, the Sfina sugya later on, you'll talk more about what the ins and outs of the rule is so far. But for our purposes, we just need to just point out flimsy versus less flimsy, so that's enough to be included in the list.
Going the same thing. The walls of the sukkah eventually have to touch ground. There's ground on a boat.
Right, so that's what we're talking about. This whole business of where's the ground on a moving
wagon.
Yeah. Rabbi Akiva, Machshavai. Beis Shammai. Where do you see Beis Shammai holding, you know, the sturdiness versus the flimsiness? This nine, Misha Hayrosh, Besukkah, Vishulchan, Besukkah, Bayis, Veshamai, Postman, Besil, Machshirin. That was that machlokas earlier. Is it Vav al Vav or Zayin al Zayin? In other words, the fact that, again, we have a machlokas, one side holds a slightly stronger structure than the other side. So we're going to refer to that as being, you see, he has some insistence on Keva versus the other opinion. It happens to be, we're holding like Veshamai on these. So we hold Zayin al Zayin and that Vav al Vav. And Rabbi Eliezer, and where is the Rabbi Eliezer Shita that holds this way? This not Osa Sukkah So Kamin Srif, Osha Samchalukosel, Rabbi Eliezer Posel, Levisha Ein Lagag, Vachamimach Shirin. Okay, so if you make your Sukkah like a Srif, or you leaned it like a lean to against the wall, so what's going on over there? It's like you made your Sukkah as just, you know, as if you envisioned a haystack. It's not a haystack, because that's going to be a whole other discussion. But let's say you built your sukkah in such a way as it's like a big domed structure of all kosher schach. Is that going to be kosher? So that's like kamin srif. Or you just propped up bamboo poles against the wall. Can you be underneath that and call that a kosher sukkah? Rabbi Lezer says no. That it's kosher. And so you see the same kind of a thing. Structural insistence on something more. And the other opinion being lenient. And the last opinion is the Acherim Shita, Desanya. Acherim Amrim. Sukkah HaSukkah Shovach Psul Alvish Einla Zavios. And so what does he hold? The Acherim hold that if your sukkah doesn't have corners, it's just curvy, it's round, top down meaning. So then it's Psul Alvish Einla Zavios. In other words, the Acherim Shita is that it requires more structural, dimensionality to it, I suppose. So it can't just be, an amorphous shape like a circle. And so, okay, what does that do with Keva Rai? I don't know, but at least it's saying same kind of a thing. Is that they have these additional structural demands, requirements, that the other opinion doesn't hold. We're going to see that the round sukkah is kosher. We're going to see that in a minute. We're stopping it here. But that as long as you have the right dimensions, so that's going to become, the issue moving forward is what would the dimensions of a circular sukkah be in order to comply with the halachos that were stated with respect to a rectangular sukkah. So we'll have to see that next time.